You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Here's your boy Q.
About 5 minutes away, give a lie or two, to hearing from Coach Antonio Pierce, interim head coach Antonio Pierce. He met with us on Monday. I had a few little sound bites that I wanted to get to, and we've been so busy here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness that we haven't had an opportunity to get to it, but we will. And please believe, nobody asked him about playing Madden. So I'm going to get a lot of good laughs out of that because we're still getting tons of feedback on our don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R, about playing Madden. Like this one from the 253. I play Madden a lot. I understand the thinking about everything. Concept, absolutely. But it all is nothing without a great defense or offensive play calling to match. Others, AP would look good if Carlson executed a kick or a couple penalties, maybe go the other way. Maybe AP is trained mentally still to focus more on defense, but hasn't been too bad, in my opinion. That's from the 253. I agree. He hasn't been bad at all. I just think that there's some in-game decisions that he's made, whether it's a challenge here or a fourth down decision here, whether to go for it or not to go for it, either way. And I think that they're easily questionable, especially when you're sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in, and I'm not standing on the sideline with a challenge flag in my back pocket and my hand on it, like, do I pull it or not? You know, and knowing that I have to make a quick decision. That's not easy. And especially a guy that's done it for the first time, I guarantee that that's not easy. Hell, you saw the guy that he's replacing has done it before multiple times. And it's not easy for him, obviously. He's been fired multiple times. So, you know, I get it. Coach Pierce has only done it 4 games. Like, think about it. It's only been 4 games. So I by no stretches and putting him out there like, oh, he's terrible. But you can see where the growing pains are coming from, and he admitted that. It's not a me thing. It's not an Adam Hill thing. It's a Coach Pierce thing. He said it. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. I'm going to figure it out, and I'll be accountable for it. And I can appreciate that because he's holding himself accountable, something that we didn't see or hear from the previous coach. He mainly was pointing it at the players saying they got to execute at a higher level. So thanks so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Again, the question that we threw out there on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. It's not a midseason report because, well, it's past the midseason, already 12 games in the book, but what grade would you overall give the Raiders? And break it down for me. Let me know how you came about this grade, right? Did you split it up between staffs as far as head coaches, offensive play callers? Are you splitting it up between units like defense and offense? Let me know. What grade would you give the Raiders through 12 games? Again, 69187, keyword R&R, 702-365-9200. As promised, Passionate Raiders kicking us off. Passionate Raider, what's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
What's up, Q, man? Good topic, man. I've been sitting here today thinking about around noontime, you know, I told my coworker, I'm like, you know, we're on our fourth coach in 3 years, I said. Fourth coach in 3 years. So then you come with this topic tonight, Q, and I've been thinking about it for the past hour since you opened the show, and I'm going to give it from the heart, man. I'm going to give us a D-minus right now.
Okay.
A D-minus, and here's why. We have had effort. I cannot say, besides the Chicago game, that we have not come out and played with effort every single game. But the lack of production that all units have put out, it all as wins and losses is what it's all judged on. You know, like Max is always wanting to be great. He's always talking about being great. You know, it's great that your stats over there, but you're never going to be great until you are dominant in your sport. Michael Jordan was dominant. LeBron James was dominant. You know, Joe Montana, dominant. Tom Brady, dominant. You'll never be the best until you're dominant, and your team is dominant, Q. So our offense, piss poor, Q. I mean, with the talent we have, what we've done all year long, it doesn't take away coaching, take away all the stuff we've gone through. We all understand it. It's still not good. Special teams, they're there, but when we needed them, they've messed up. Everywhere across the board has been bad for the Raiders this year. And it all comes down to the biggest thing in our life is choices. And Mark and all of us involved have made a lot of bad choices, and we're reaping the consequences from them. So with this next coaching search, Q, Mark cannot just keep walking around because it has to hurt. It has to hurt knowing that your organization is on its fourth coach in 3 years. So So this has to be a serious ordeal that goes down this season. We all love AP. We do. We love his heart. We love his passion. We love everything he stands for. He's one of us. But who knows if he's that man yet? But we've got 5 games to see, Q, with Aiden. We've got 5 games to see what this kid can do with this offensive line, with this everything that he's thrown in that has, like, no chance to survive at all. He's just thrown in this. We got to see what he's going to do. But the biggest part, Q, is going to be who's going to be running the ship of this organization going forward, because this has to stop. Mark, you're winning in every other thing you're doing in life. Please get this one right, Q, because we're sitting at a D-minus right now in my book. And I love this team with everything I got in me, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being the laughingstock of the NFL. It's got to change. Thanks for taking my call, Q.
Hey, good stuff, man. Good stuff. And, you know, there's a lot to take away from that call, and there's a lot of real in that call. And that's why on yesterday's show I was talking about you've got 5 games to figure it out. You either have your GM and your head coach already in place in Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce, respectfully. They're the interims right now. Or you don't. And if you don't, you make that decision, and you have to analyze it, break it down, and move on. But you got to get it right. Right, and that's what I really spent a lot of time yesterday talking about, was you could have your guy, and he has 5 games to prove it. And Aiden O'Connell could be your guy, and he's got 5 games to prove it. But by the end of the season, you've got to know for certain what direction you're going to go. And if you decide that, yeah, this is not it, then okay, that's a decision you make. You've got to go out there and get it, and you've got to get it right. For every reason you just said, you've got to get it right. I guarantee you that Mark Davis doesn't want to have 4 coaches in 3 years. I know that. That's why he gave Gruden the long-term deal. He didn't have any idea what was going to pop up, and he was going to have to let him go. Then he, you know, had Bisaccia there as the interim. Did some good things, but as we know, only 42 interims out of, since 2000, only 10 of them have become the full-time guy out of 42. And Antonio Pierce is going to be the 43rd. Now there's a 44th one going on in Carolina. I mean, those are stats right there. So interims don't often get the head coaching job for one reason or the other. And I'll tell you, maybe I was wrong, but I never once. You can go back and listen on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can go back and listen to the podcast when Bisaccia was the coach. Everyone kept calling and saying, hey, Q, do you think he's going to get the job? And I said, no. No disrespect, but no, I don't think so. I don't think he's the long-term solution. I think he's the right-now solution, and it's a good solution, and he's doing some great things, but I never thought he was the full-time coach. Now, I will say this. When it comes to Antonio Pierce, I feel like he could be a younger Rich Bisaccia, a guy that's still, you know, kind of working his way into the coaching position. I'll tell you this. Whatever this experience for AP results in at the end when it's all said and done, I bet you he don't look back. I bet you he's not going to say, well, let me just fall back to, you know, a linebacker's coach. And he might have to for a minute, or it might be a defensive coordinator for a minute. But now all eyes are going to be on the prize when it comes to him being a head coach, because now he's had a taste of it. And now he knows what he wants, what it looks like. And he'll probably go get it, whether it's with the Raiders or someone else. So I just think that it's a lot of decision making that's got to come up, that's got to be had by the end of the season. Right, Mark Davis made the move to move on from Josh McDaniels, which lets you know that he had seen enough and realized where they were at and realized that that's not where he wanted to be. And he heard the fan base, like Passionate Raider, like anyone else who calls, like anyone else who texts in, like anyone else who tweets at us. He hears it. He knows what's going on. He knows how the fan base feels. And he knows what it's like to win. He's seeing winning all around him. He's got winning in his organization. He's been around winning a lot. He wants to have winning with the Raiders under his watch. That's the ultimate goal. That's what he's working towards. Let's go back out to the phone lines real quick. Talk to our guy, Alan, right here in Vegas. Alan, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Q. To answer your question, I think of it like this. So the first 8 weeks, I would give Fs all around.
Okay.
None to it. But I feel like after the 8th week, the Department of Education came in and fired the principal and the teacher because, you know, the kids are in 6th grade. They're barely learning division and multiplication, and this guy's trying to teach calculus. I'm like, come on, man. So, but after that, I'd say C+, B-. You know, I'm proud of the effort. I'm proud of what they're doing. I like Aiden taking shots downfield, and even into double, triple coverage. You know what? He may not be on the team next year. You know what? Take your licks, kid, and see what happens.
There you go. Hey, Alan, great call, man. Great call. You know all I could think of when Alan called and said F's all around, and then he said that, you know, after the eighth week, you know, these guys, they're trying to learn how to do their math, and he's trying to teach calculus. For some reason, all I could think of is the movie Lean on Me. Wasn't that Morgan Freeman when he was the principal? Was it Morgan Freeman? No, it wasn't. It was Crazy Joe. It wasn't Morgan Freeman. Remember Crazy Joe?
I vaguely remember the movie.
Oh, you stink.
I was a little
I don't know any movies. The one movie I know, you don't know.
Was it? Is it like Corey?
It was Lean on Me when he came in and he was the principal of the school. And remember when he just said, he was like, the Board of Education came in and fired everybody. All I could think of is Crazy Joe coming in with the bat. And he's like, they used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me Batman. You don't remember that?
No, I was really
oh, you stink.
Sorry, Q, but I think we were both very young when this came out. Not just
I watched it. I wasn't that young.
When
I watched it.
I was too young, so I just don't remember.
I don't ever give movie references, and
no,
the one
don't.
I do, you don't know.
That's about right.
Well, that's why I don't do movie references.
I will also add, though, people that know all the movies, like every time I get this, have you ever seen this? Yeah. Oh, you remember that one scene? No. I don't. That's me all the time. So even if you did say something and I'd seen the movie front to back, I wouldn't know.
Well, that's all
it's
I can
more
think
on me
of.
Than you.
Somebody can appreciate whatever I just said, someone's whatever listening. I just referenced, because, again, I don't reference movies very often. I am not a movie guy.
No, sir.
But there's that. So, Alan, great breakdown. Anytime you can make me think of a movie and bring it to the show, you know you had you made a good reference right there. So I like that. Alan in Vegas, good stuff. Let's go ahead and got a bunch of texts that we'll get to in a little bit. Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports, she'll join us coming up at 3:30. But I did want to let you hear some sound bites from interim head coach Antonio Pierce. We got to meet with him on Monday and really haven't got around to it. So want to make sure that we do this today. We won't meet again with him until next week. But this was following Monday when they decided that they were going to move on from Marcus Peters and also Roderick Teamer. Roderick Teamer had the off-field issues, arrested on Saturday night for suspicion of DUI, and then Marcus Peters was just really a buildup, but lack of effort on the field is what got him benched on Sunday and ultimately released on Monday. So here's Coach Pierce on the difficulty of cutting a player.
Yeah, it's always difficult when you have to release a player. That conversation I don't look forward to. Hate it. To be honest, I hate it. It's not good. It's not a good feeling. Me and MP had some good conversations throughout this entire process. When I was a linebacker coach, when he first got here, on and off the field, somebody I respect as a person. I respect what he's done in his game. He's a professional. But it's a business. We're all going to get cut. We're all going to get fired. You get hired to get fired, right? So he understands that. I understand that it's a part of business that we all hate and it sucks.
So he goes on to say real quick about moving on from Peters.
Yeah, just decided to move forward. Wish Marcus Peters the best. We had a great conversation last night, great conversation this morning, and we'll stick with that.
So we'll stick with that. That's the answer right there. Not going to go into details on why they had to move on from him, but it was obvious, painfully obvious, and folks have been calling into the show for weeks. When can we bench Peters? When is Peters going to get benched? When is AP going to get tired of what he's doing out there? And it's a shame because you know that Marcus Peters wasn't – you knew he wasn't that guy where he was going to be, you know, like prime Marcus Peters. He wasn't that dude. But you felt like he still had something to provide. And you thought that, especially playing for his hometown team growing up, you know, obviously, you know, being an Oakland guy, knowing how much his dad is a Raider fan, you'd think that he'd go out there with a little bit more pride and play. And ultimately, it just looked like he was collecting a check. It looked like none of that mattered. He was just collecting a check, and that's unfortunate. But at some point, the Raiders said, this is not going to work. Going to have to move on from him. So, with that being said, who replaces Marcus Peters?
You know, you don't really replace him by his next man up mentality, right? And we got some young guys here. JB, Jack Jones just got here. Hopefully get some more guys healthy in the mix. And just a great opportunity for some of our younger players.
So, Jack Jones, I don't think that there was any kind of, you know, coincidence when the Raiders picked him up off of waivers. I kind of felt like then that was almost like a signal to Marcus Peters that, hey, man, you better get your stuff together, because this is a guy that, one, Antonio Pierce is very familiar with, a guy that I talked to in the locker room right after he got picked up off waivers. He was very excited about the opportunity to be there. I don't know what he's going to be, but he has these next handful of games to show who he could be. Ja'Corian Bennett, of course, he's the fourth-round pick. The rookie, he's been – you know, struggling. He's been injured. You know, confidence, I'm sure he's still trying to get back up, but he's trying to get healthy and get out there and perform. He's gonna get some more time to grow. But a guy like Jack Jones, he could really earn himself a spot if he can go out there these next handful of games and prove something. Like, there's a lot of evaluations that's going to go on. I said it before. It's not just the coach. It's not just the offensive coordinator. It's not just the quarterback. But there's multiple players that are going to be basically auditioning for jobs, right? Jack Jones is showing what he could do if they're going to move forward with him. Amik Robertson is still playing at a high level. He's playing for a contract, right? I mean, he's playing for a contract and for the team to say, yeah, Amik, we want to keep rocking with you, right? Everyone's written you off. Q's written you off 1,000 times, and here you are. You're still out there making plays. And I got to give him a ton of credit. As many times as everyone. I use myself, for example, because I don't want to talk for other people, but I've written him off so many times, and all he does is keep on making plays. So he's going to continue to do that. These five games, I guarantee you, means a lot to him. You heard the emotion in his voice following the game on Sunday. He was angry about losing to Kansas City. I can appreciate that. Right, there's other guys that are out there, you know, fighting for jobs and showing what they could do. Guys along that offensive line, right? Jermaine Illuminor is fighting for a job, showing what he could do. I think everyone, for the most part, outside of guys named Max Crosby, obviously Tyree Wilson is the rookie, so he's the number 7 overall pick. He's not going anywhere. Devontae is Devontae. I mean, Josh Jacobs is on a 1-year deal, right? So they got to make a decision what they're going to do there. There's guys that are out there fighting, man. They're out there fighting, and these games, like I said, it's an evaluation process. Everyone's going to show what they want and who they could be moving forward. So continuing on with some sounds from Coach Antonio Pierce. This is going all the way back to Monday. They moved on from Marcus Peters, but they also had to move on from Roderick Teamer. Again, off-the-field issues. But here's Antonio Pierce talking about and responding to the question about Teamer.
There's reports out that Roderick Teamer is being waived. Is that something you can comment on? Or
yeah, we decided to part ways.
Boom. Right? Again, it's not something that you want to, you know, have deep conversations about, but it's something that has to be asked because the reports were out there, and this was before the Raiders had made the, you know, the announcement that him and Marcus Peters were gone. The reports, matter of fact, Ari Mayrov is the first person I saw with that report, and he was on our show later on that day. He was on Monday at 3:00, and so while we were up there talking to Coach Pierce, I was like, well, the report's out there. You know, so let me ask. And so it just made sense to get it confirmed by Coach Pierce. Now let's get on to the guys that are still currently on the team, like Aiden O'Connell, who's trying to prove that he could be the guy. Here's Coach Pierce talking about the improvement he's seen from Aiden O'Connell over the past few weeks.
Much calmer, more poised on the sideline. Doesn't look rattled, doesn't look kind of wide-eyed a little bit. I do think the game is slowing down. I don't think it's there yet for him. That takes a while for all of us. But I do see a guy that's progressing as far as his mental capacity, what we're able to do. Are we doing more with him? I don't know. Are we doing less with him? I don't know. I think we're doing just enough to allow him to have a pretty good performance yesterday. Took care of the football. O-line did a great job. He didn't get hit until late in the fourth quarter. Didn't get sacked till the second to last play. Understanding how to get rid of the ball. I think he has a good command of our offense, getting us in and out the huddle, and those are all things that we can still improve on. So I would just say just the overall quarterback play. I think Jimmy and Brian Hoyer have done an outstanding job with him as well from meetings to practice. You see that now carried over into the field on game day.
So Coach Pierce talking about the game starting to slow down a little bit for Aiden O'Connell, and he's, you know, understanding the offense and putting them in really good positions. So when I heard him say about the game slowing down for Aiden O'Connell, I thought I'd ask him about the game slowing down for him. Is the game starting to slow down for him as the interim head coach? Because, look, this is something he hasn't done before.
Each and every game you get better, right? Hopefully. You know, some people say you're getting worse. That's cool. Everybody got an opinion. We know what that is. But for me, overall, just understanding how we operate, working with Pat, working with Tom, being side-by-side with Bo, working with Matt Sheldon, with the game management, you know, that takes time. And I get it. I'm racing time now, right? Clock is ticking, right? It's almost over. I get it. But the best part about it, I know whenever this is over, I've gotten better. It'll be a better AP whenever that happens again. So I'm fine with that.
I love that answer. I really do. I mean, he acknowledges everything that he's learning, the guys that he's working with. He mentioned game management. Again, I brought it up earlier. It's not something that Adam Hill – brought up. It's not something that I brought up. It's something that AP brought up. Hey, game management, it's hard. He said it. It is. It's only been 4 games. We see coaches that have been doing it for years have terrible game management. Like, how many times have we gone on the radio or on a podcast or just talking in general around the water cooler and saying, man, can you believe that clock management from so-and-so coach last night? Can you believe what we saw on Monday Night Football? We're talking about coaches that have been in the league for years. This guy's been a head coach for 4 weeks. So things are going to go wrong. It's guaranteed. It doesn't matter what walk of life you are, what you do. If you're only on the job a very short amount of time, you're going to make mistakes. It happens. It's about how you bounce back from them, how you learn from them. And I love the fact that he said, whenever this is done, and I know I don't have a lot of time, whenever this is done, I'll be a better AP from it, and I'm good with that. How do you not like that? How can you not appreciate that answer? Because that's all you could do. Like, at the end of the day, regardless, if you put everything that you got into something, even if you put everything you got into it and fail, you could live with that. It's when you fail and you know that you didn't really put that effort in, that's when you live with regret. Well, I didn't really work that hard. Well, I didn't really try that hard. I didn't show up to work on time. I didn't come back to work on time. I didn't yada, 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 whatever the case may be. Then all of a sudden, when it's gone, then you realize, man, I really blew that opportunity. It's like when you have an opportunity to interview Rihanna and you just blow it off because you think she's a one-hit wonder. You don't really work hard on it. It's a blown opportunity. Rihanna might have thought I was somebody special at that time. Just saying. My bad. You learn from these things, right? Just blow off an interview with Rihanna. Who would have thunk it? My bad. I didn't know. If I knew what I knew now, game would have been different. Might have actually put a lot of effort into that interview. Might have been worth saving. Running back at some point. My bad. Moving on with the sounds from Coach Antonio Pierce. This is from Monday's media session. Again, we won't have an opportunity to catch up with him until next week. Second half struggles. The Raiders have a bunch of second half struggles, right? Especially the game on Sunday. They get out to a nice little score, you know, 14-0, and then, boom, they really can't get anything going. It's 14-14 at halftime, and it just felt like the air had left the Allegiant Stadium, the air had left the wings of the Raiders, and you were wondering what they're going to do coming out of the locker room, and it wasn't a whole lot of anything. They were only able to muster up 3 points, and they've been struggling in the second half. So here's Coach Pierce just talking about second half struggles.
You're never going to knock another team, but it's Raiders. There's open players. We have opportunities, I'll say that. There's opportunities there. And the difference in that game, to be honest, you look at the stat sheet, 58 plays, 58 plays, right? Time possession, a minute, give or take. We outrush them almost double. Red zone. They're 3 for 3. We're 1 for 3. 7 explosive plays, over 15 for us, 17 for them. They just made them in the later part. You know, we start off very hot. We didn't continue that. And, you know, when you play a team like that, they're going to make the most of their opportunities. And Patrick Mahomes and them did that. You know, they did a good job. And when we had them, this happened. That happened. And that's the difference between winning and losing, man. To be honest, you know, 3 to 4 plays in a game, especially when you play a clean game like we played yesterday, and there was no turnovers, there was no penalties, it was nothing of that nature. Just, you know, who made – Jimmy's and Joe's. I always go back to that, Jimmy's and Joe's.
AP talking about the second half struggles in particular in that game on Sunday versus Kansas City and, you know, why you can't struggle. And it was more the Raiders, and we heard that from Davante Adams as well when I asked him about what happened, what changed when he got off to a hot start, 5 catches, 73 yards, and then he wasn't able to get anything else later. What did Kansas City do? And no disrespect to Kansas City, it was us. And so you hear AP say the same thing. Real quick on the DobieBroke.com text line, 69187, keyword R&R is from the 323. Q, when he says everyone has an opinion, you know what it is. I think he's saying opinion is like an a-hole. Everyone has one. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah, that's definitely what he's talking about, right? We all know what opinions are. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. Like, that didn't take, like, earth-shattering information. Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. He said it the cleanest way he could. And that's why I always say I ain't mad at him. It's like I'm not mad at anyone else that calls in with an opinion or texts in with an opinion or tweets in with an opinion. Because, I mean, we all got them, right? How do you use it? How do you use your opinion? Quick, you're up next. What's on your mind, brother? Welcome to the show.
Q-Ball, what it do, man?
What up, man? How you doing?
I'm chilling, bro. Appreciate taking my call. You know, doesn't it sound like AP has already had enough? Not necessarily had enough in the sense that he wants to quit, but he's almost like he's swimming upstream. You can just kind of tell, like, man, that game there was in our grasp. We had something brewing, and we fell apart for whatever reason. whether it be lack of effort from Peters or, you know, just bad mistakes on our end, coaching-wise. There were a lot of things that went into it. It seems as if he's kind of already kind of see the writing on the wall, and I think so do we as fans. I think as fans, we just kind of we're kind of going through the motions with the team. That's why everybody's calling saying today it's a CDF kind of thing, man. I got to agree with that. I mean, this season will be left with a lot of incomplete, a lot of what ifs as far as like what direction should have gone, because we should be headed in a direction of, hey, the arrow moving up, and everybody thought that and thought that we might have been able to put the pieces together for that, and we just have not for whatever reason. In the beginning, I was very low on our talent on the team. I've since kind of changed my tune on that. I feel like the team does have talent. I'm just not sure it's the middle to upper echelon of talent that we need in order to make the headways that that we need to. My last point that I got for you is we need to keep Champ. That is like the only person in that building that I'm willing to throw my flag up for and say we have to have this person, because he had an idea of where the team needs were. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go from here. I appreciate you taking my call, Q-Ball. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to hear from you, my man. That's Quick hitting us up. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. I think everyone was super fired up about Antonio Pierce when he came out of the gates and was talking about Compton and kind of gave everybody a little bit more energy. You see the players fired up, see the basketball hoop in the locker room. And, look, the players are still fired up. Don't get me wrong. But obviously it's different when you see wins. And one of the big things that we talked about was what does it look like when adversity hits? Well, you know, they lost two games in a row. Then they got the bye week, which I think is great. My big question, because I'm kind of like you where there's still incompletes and there's still what ifs, is what does it look like the last five? What kind of energy does Coach Pierce come back with, right? Does anyone come out with that feeling of, man, I think he's kind of throwing his hands up like I don't know what to do at this point? Or does he come back like that ball of energy is ready to attack it? That's what I want to see. What does it look like coming out of this break? Five games to go. You got to go hard in the paint, right? See how it shakes out. And I'm not judging them based off just wins and losses. I'm going to judge it off of everything that I see, what I hear, and, you know, just how it just, like I said, how you soak it in and what it looks like is a big part of this. So, yeah, good call, man. Really good call. Like I said, it's always good to hear from you. 3:27 is the time. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Paloma Villacana will join us. She'll talk all things UNLV. They'll be hosting the Mountain West Championship game this Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
They're at the 29 now. Back to throw Maiava. Looking, and the pass is caught by Thompson at the 5, and he's in for a Rebel touchdown. What a play. Maiava to Thompson, who went weaving through the secondary and got to the end zone.
It's time to talk all things UNLV with Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 on Unnecessary Roughness.
Maiava to Thompson, weaving through traffic, weaving and wiggling, trying to find his way to the end zone, trying to do what he does. Little Rebel football action coming back here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. And Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports does join us now on the phone lines. And Paloma, I know they lost to San Jose State on Saturday, but I guess the consolation prize is you get to host the Mountain West Championship game, Allegiant Stadium versus Boise State, this upcoming Saturday. How big is this game in the history of UNLV football?
Just amazing. I mean, the buzz, the energy in the city right now, honestly, all season long, Q. I mean, I know this week is a big week, and there's a lot on the line this Saturday at Allegiant Stadium, but this excitement, I have felt it since week one. Honestly, you know, I was telling my cameraman this morning, day one of fall camp, when I walked out on the practice field and I saw how much support staff Barry Odom had, they're all wearing earpieces, they all have, you know, Gatorades in their hands, and, you know, Coach Odom and his coaches were, you know, off to a great start. I'm like, man, this looks like an Alabama football practice. The very first day of fall camp, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be a different year. It's just going to be a different year. And talking to the players who transferred from Arkansas and followed Barry Odom out to UNLV, all season long, they've told me this is no different than an SEC practice. This is no different than what you will see in the SEC, high scoring, good defense. Special teams has been an X factor for UNLV. So if I were to write a story about Barry Odom, it would say, you know, Barry Odom building an SEC team on the West Coast, in my opinion, with his staff and his players and the way he runs his practices, the structure of his practices. You know, it goes hand in hand what you would go when you walk out at an Alabama football practice. So a historic season, 9-3, UNLV getting ready to host Boise State on Saturday. Also another good football team that has been to the Mountain West Championship 7 times in program history. So it'll be a great matchup at noon on Saturday. And Barry Odom has been telling everyone in town, you know, the tickets are free for students. And I believe the tickets are $20 a piece.
Wow.
You know, so super affordable. San Jose State, the home game last weekend, there are tons of fans tailgating outside.
Nice.
It was so cool to see everyone's red UNLV, you know, tents and everyone barbecuing, and so cool to see the flags kind of on the corner of Russell to show UNLV. I mean, it's just like we've never seen this before in
right.
Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. So to be a part of history and to only pay $20 to go into Allegiant Stadium and go see, you know, a championship game, there's no better place to be on Saturday.
Yeah, no, that's going to be exciting. If I had told you before the season started that UNLV was going to be hosting the Mountain West Championship game, they were going to be playing in it, hosting it, oh, by the way, against a team in Boise State who fired their coach after winning a
yep.
game in the season,
yeah.
and they were going to be the team as well. Like, I couldn't have made that up and you would have believed it. How wild is that?
Yeah, and I think it just comes down to UNLV's focus and the way Barry Odom led his team to success. You know, he always tells the media, you know, you guys are writing about history and the championship and what's ahead. We're focused on, you know, one rep at a time. You know, we're focused on having the best practice of the year today. You know, he told me all season long on the Red Zone that his team keeps blinders on. The starting quarterback doesn't even have social media. You know, his guys were just locked in and focused on their opponent and really just accomplishing what they needed to get done in that day. So I don't know, just Barry Odom's energy is so infectious. The way he stays so poised and focused on today and having the best practice of their lives today. That's what has led them to success and keeping their head down and focusing on one play at a time and one rep at a time, you know, rather than the whole game, the whole season. It's worked for them at UNLV.
Paloma Villacana, Fox 5 Sports, is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. So Boise State was able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Or not Boise State, excuse me. San Jose State was able to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We know Boise State can run the ball. They can run with their
yep.
quarterback. They can run with their running backs, of course. How much has Barry Odom, or is he really focusing in this week on trying to slow down the run?
Well, we saw UNLV's defense shut down their opponents in the second half against Wyoming and Air Force. You know, Air Force, mm-hmm. you know, that triple option is so hard to stop. But so back-to-back games with second-half shutouts. Now, what happened against San Jose State, it was just a rocky game from the start. I mean, San Jose State jumped out 17-0 in the first quarter. They fumbled the kickoff. UNLV fumbled the kickoff, made some mistakes early on, and, you know, they were down 17-0 early. So in my opinion, UNLV was playing catch up the entire game. Down 20-10 at halftime, they shortened the score to 20-17 in the third quarter. But they gave up some big runs. They gave up some big runs. Kyrie Robinson had some big runs, a 40-yard touchdown, and that'll be their test this week is slowing down Boise State's really talented running back too. And it'll be stopping the run, but. What's great is that UNLV has kind of been banged up in the secondary, this season. And in my opinion, this is the healthiest they've looked all season with their DBs coming back out there. And their starting linebacker, Jackson Woodard, looks really good too. So hopefully their defense is back in full force on Saturday. You need all your guys out there to stop Boise State, because no doubt they're talented, 2-0 under their interim head coach, and on a 3-game win streak heading into Allegiant Stadium. And Boise State, you know, like I mentioned, this is their 7th time in the Mountain West Championship. So we know that they're dominant. We know that they have a lot of talent on that team too. So all week long, you know, Barry Odom and his guys have said that they have a chip on their shoulder going into this game, coming off that San Jose State loss. You know, they want to win this first title bad.
Yeah, that would be such a big deal if they could find a way to get that done again. I mean, sitting there at 9-3, they haven't been at that position since 84, which is so long ago. So it's really been a hell of a run that they've had so far this year. And there's a lot of new, right, even including the quarterback, right, Jordan Maiava, freshman. How has he been calm, cool, and collective and not let the moment be too big for him? And obviously this is a big game coming up on Saturday for him too.
Yeah, really impressed with Jaden Maiava, the local star from Liberty High School. Grew up in Hawaii, has a ton of family here in the Ninth Island, has family in Hawaii that fly in for every game. You know, half Allegiant Stadium is Jaden Maiava's family for sure, which is so fun, so cool to see a local guy doing so well this season, too. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, even though he's a redshirt freshman. Mountain West Freshman of the Year, top 50 quarterback in the country. And you know, the fact that he's a redshirt freshman is so exciting. He's only going to get better with this offense and Barry Odom. You know, hopefully Coach Marion can stick around for another year or two, because and credit to Coach Marion. You know, what an amazing, outstanding offensive coordinator who has been known to develop quarterbacks and receivers and install his creative go-go offense. It's been so exciting to watch UNLV score 45 points a game this season. But my hat goes off to Jaden Maiava. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman quarterback, so young, and the way he's been able to just lead his team. Barry Odom says, you know, he spends the most time in the building watching film, trying to prepare as well as he can. And what I like about Jaden Maiava is, you know, if he throws an interception, the next play he comes out and, you know, throws a touchdown. Or the next play, he comes out and he throws an 85-yard bomb. So right. His composure is awesome. He doesn't get too high, too low. He stays really level-headed. You know, if he makes a mistake on the next drive, they go out and score. So shows a lot of resilience and maturity. And no doubt, Jaden Maiava has a really bright future with Barry Odom at UNLV.
Yeah, he's got a bright future as long as I don't call him Jordan. As long as I call him Jaden, man. At least let me give him Jaden. Some props. Gosh.
Jaden. There's another Jaden on the team, Jaden Jett Thomas, who is also a freshman, stud running back, freshman. Q. He leads the nation in touchdowns by a freshman. He's the only freshman in the country with 12 rushing touchdowns. So on the Rep Zone, I was saying, hey, Barry, you got some freshmen on this team that are just studs. So it's exciting to see how young this team is. You know, a lot of potential for sure. And Barry Odom has told me, you know, from the get-go, he takes a year off of any player and says, you know, I need you to go out there and execute. And if you're the best one in that group, then, you know, you're getting the starting job. And he always laughs about the depth chart and everything. And he's like, I don't really care about depth charts. I need 110 guys to go out there and play winning football. So that's so exciting. You know, if you're a recruit and you're a senior in high school and you want to go be the nation's leading rusher, you can go do that at UNLV and their elite coaching staff. So super exciting.
That's exactly where I wanted to close out as well. You mentioned the team is young right now, but with the success that Coach Odom has had in year one, how much is that going to help him when him and his staff are hitting the recruiting trail?
I mean, every single home game, it is impossible to walk on the sidelines. There are so many recruits at every home game, man. It's been so exciting to see. And, you know, the coaching staff has done a great job recruiting. I can't wait to see what happens in December with the early signing period. You know, his son plays football at Faith Lutheran. He's a quarterback, Garrett Odom at Faith Lutheran. So, of course, you hope to see another Odom, you know, on the UNLV football team. So, but, you know, Barry Odom's goal since day one has been the city of Las Vegas and recruiting here because, man, do we have the best football players in the city at Bishop Gorman, at Liberty, throughout our city. And, you know, we want to keep those guys at UNLV and in Las Vegas. And now that you have the Raiders, you know, you can see your future here in Las Vegas and you can compete for championships here in Las Vegas. And, you know, all eyes are on athletes here in Las Vegas at the collegiate, high school and pro level. So, this is the city to be in. And, you know, if you're a recruit, you know, why wouldn't you want to play at Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play and you have Barry Odom as your head coach?
Yeah.
And the facility over there at the Fertitta Football Complex is incredible. So, yeah, I mean, there's I'm so happy for Barry Odom and everything he's accomplished this year and all the national recognition that his team has received. So, you know, he's going to have a huge offseason in the portal, in recruiting, and we'll see how many local guys he can get to stay here in Vegas.
Yeah, that would be big. It really would. I mean, that's the name of the game. You know that. It's all about recruiting, right? You have talent, but you keep bringing it in, recruiting one way or the other. The portal, NIL, all that plays a factor. Mm-hmm. You got to get the talent in the cupboard, and then you got to go ahead and coach up that talent. And that's what Coach Odom's been able to do this year, really coach them up. They host the Mountain West Championship game. I can't say that enough, versus Boise State on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. Paloma, what's coming out of the Red Zone that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge show. We're going to do it from Allegiant Stadium. You know, we're going to have the entire team on the show. And,
nice.
You know, we hope you guys are there at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday checking out the Red Zone post-game. So awesome to hang out with Rebel Nation and get to meet you guys in on the concourse and in the stands. And it's so cool to see everyone tailgating. You know, it's been awesome to see this city turn into a college football city, where on Saturdays you can go to a UNLV football game, and then on Sundays you go to the Raiders game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been awesome. And we got basketball season rolling too. So, you know, almost every night of the week, you know, you have a game to go to. And it's just so incredible. You know, what a time to be here in Las Vegas. But, yeah, another big Red Zone show. And, you know, basketball season is rolling too. So we're going to jump in on the Running Rebels and the Lady Rebels season soon. And we're headed with the Rebels to their bowl game. We'll find out on Sunday where their bowl game is and what date it is and everything. So we're just keeping this party rolling, Hugh.
Yeah, hey, that's all you can do. And hopefully the Rebels are able to get the W on Saturday and win the Mountain West Conference, and then they get a hell of a bowl game, and you get another nice trip out of it have a lot of fun. That's what it's all about. Winning is fun. We all know that. Well, Paloma, fantastic stuff as always. We definitely appreciate you, and we'll be checking you out on Saturday during the game and during the Reb Zone.
Thanks, Q. I appreciate you.
Absolutely appreciate you. There she goes, Paloma Villacana. Fox 5 Sports does a great job covering UNLV, covering the Aces, covering basketball, men's and women, everything here in around town, the Golden Knights, and, of course, the Raiders as well, but really focusing in on UNLV with her. And love the fact that we've been talking about, ever since I started this show back in 2021 when I got here, we've been talking about UNLV, and there's been some dark, dark days when it came to UNLV. But it shows that you can get things turned around, like I like to say, quick, fast, and in a hurry if you get the right people in place. So I love that we've been talking about UNLV since day one, and we're not one of those that just jumped on now. It's like, oh, hey, by the way, let's show UNLV some love because now they're winning. Hey, winning is fun, but we've been rocking with UNLV since I've been here, and so it's been a lot of fun to see them progress and get better. 3:47 is the time. We'll take a quick break. Many thanks to Paloma. Got a really good text from Rob in Oakland, one of my favorite texters. We'll get that text and a couple calls when we get back. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
There's been a gap in communication. I think specifically the interior of the offensive line has got to figure it out. And if they don't, the organization is going to go into the offseason saying the number one thing to fix is the entire interior of the offensive line. They got to be talking to each other. They got to be figuring out better ways in game as the games move on to communicate about who's coming from where. And Aiden's got to get better at communicating that to his offensive line too.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Jason Fitz from Yahoo talking about Aiden O'Connell and the offensive line, more particularly the offensive line, fixing that thing in a major way. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com. We'll talk about the in-season tournament going on, the NBA. The Lakers are the number one seed. They'll be taking on the Phoenix Suns in the knockout round. Got a really good text from Rob in Oakland that I want to get to real quick on the don'tbebroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R. I know it's not midseason. There's already 12 games in the books. What grade would you give the Raiders on their so-called midseason report card, even though it's more closer to three-fourths of the season in the books? What would the grade overall be? Just break it down on how you would grade this team, as there's been a lot of ups and downs. Rob said, the topic is more complicated than it seems. I grade it partly on a curve and partly by objective measures. Defense is tied for 16th in average scoring defense, 21st in average yard allowed, 26th in red zone defense percentage, and 24th in third down defense percentage. I minimize total turnovers and sacks because we played one more game than many teams. C-. We're one of about 15 teams with an uncertain quarterback situation, and our offensive line can't block for the run or pass and poorly identifies blitzes and twists. We scored 3 touchdowns in the game once. Because the quarterback and offensive line are so important to the success of the offense, D. Special teams. Kickers and coverage is solid, but counted for fewer units. B+. Overall grade, C-. Rob in Oakland. You want to talk about a breakdown? You want to talk about a breakdown right there. My man went to red zone offense, yardage allowed, scoring defense, third down defense, turnovers, sacks. Like, that is really, really good stuff right there from Robin Oakland. And that's what I'm talking about, man. When you have a kind of breakdown like that, and when you're talking about a grade or what kind of grade you would put on a team, like, how did you come about that? Did you just come about it by S's and giggles just because you grabbed something, threw it against the wall and hope that it stuck? Or, you know, like Rob just broke it down like that. That was some really good stuff, man. Rob, thanks so much for that text. Definitely appreciate you. Again, we got Trevor Lane from LakersNation.com coming up at the top of the hour. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Let's go out. Do we have time or no? Or do we have time? All right. Gave me the heads up. Classic, you're up. Berkeley, California. What's on your mind?
What's happening, man? We haven't spoken. Last time we spoke, we were talking about Casper's Hot Dogs, man.
I heard that. I remember that spot.
Yeah, but no, man, hey, I just want to give a longtime Raider fan, man, from the Bay, I just want to get my perspective, man. You know, you realize what the Raiders are trying to do, man, mm-hmm. the equivalent of changing a tire with a car still rolling. You know, that's what we're doing, man. And it's like, you know, the eye test says this. It's like, okay, Aiden is a rookie, but think about it. Bo is more of a rookie than Aiden. Aiden had 4 years of college playing quarterback. Bo is actually play calling for the first time at the NFL level, man, mm-hmm. if I'm correct. And it's like, imagine having to go against Spagnuolo, who's very experienced. So, because, you know, it's not the players, because the same guys that were catching passes and running patterns and touchdowns in the first quarter were the same guys that were there. The Raiders aren't dropping a lot of balls and fumbling and, you know what I mean? They can only run what's played. And so just like we can't expect Aiden to come to the line of scrimmage and run an offense like, you know, Brady, we can't, you know, with Bo being a first-time play caller, you know, play calling is anticipation. And the same thing with Patrick Graham, man. It's like all the crossing patterns with guys wide open in the middle. He has to anticipate, man. This is what Andy Reid likes to do, you know yeah. what I mean? So it's a like Rob said, it's a combination of things. It's not just the guy, and then I heard AP say, and I really hope AP gets the job. But I heard AP say that even on that 4th and 1, they were lined up wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yep. it's a combination of things. But again, you know, it's easy to change the tire, man, when the car is stopped, like it is during the bye, and being able to make some adjustments, man.
I heard that. That's a great way to break it down, man. The Raiders are attempting to change a tire while the car is still rolling. And now in the bye week, they're actually able to park the car and try to change the tires. That is a classic from Classic, calling from Berkeley, California. Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com. He'll join us next as we kick off hour number 3 of the show. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.